Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the chatter and the patter about the media that is the Newsbusters podcast. We are coming to you from the Media Research Center, founded in 1987 to record, transcribe, and expose the media when they act like liberal activists and Democrat partisans. We have walls and walls of Kodak T120 VHS tapes going back to when, well, when Reagan was the president, people like to suggest was senile. Joe Wolfson at Fox News had a scoop on the big Reuters story. It's a transcript of a July call between President Biden and then Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. Biden vowed to Ghani, "We are going to continue to fight hard, diplomatically, politically, economically, to make sure your government not only survives, but is sustained and grows." Sounds a little optimistic. Didn't exactly happen. And he knew it was a little bit doomed, because this is the more newsy part. Biden said to Ghani, "I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture." Translation: you're losing the war. It doesn't matter. Let's claim you're winning it. This would seem to be a really interesting news story. Some people don't like this. I think some people, it reminds them of the taped phone call between Donald Trump and the president of the Ukraine. Some people would say, our presidents are not going to be able to discuss anything with foreign leaders for fear that a transcript and a recording are going to be handed to a wire service. I get that. But, you know, the real question here is, if it's done to Trump and then it's done to Biden, what's the difference? Well, in this case, we all know within Trump's case that it led to the first impeachment effort of Trump. It was a massive story that he would dare to suggest to the president of Ukraine somebody should look into Hunter Biden. We could start with maybe the American news media could look into Hunter Biden, but I guess that was too much to ask. But since Reuters broke this story on Tuesday of the conversation between Biden and President Ghani, Joe Wolfson says all the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, all have avoided mentioning this phone call based on transcripts from the video site Grabien, Grabien.com. If you haven't been there to check out their videos, it's always a good idea. Or follow Tom Elliott on Twitter. I got a kick out of this one. Omri Sarin tweeted, "The only way major networks could be ignoring the Biden call more studiously is if the recording was on Hunter Biden's laptop." Well done, sir. Yes, so Biden's critics, that would include us, have compared the call to Trump talking to Vladimir Zelensky in 2019. And that's where you say, why aren't they both being covered? Now, the Republicans are obviously using this story to say the worst things about Biden. Congressman Jody Heiss said this is yet more evidence that Joe Biden is totally disconnected from the real world. Changing perception is political spin, not a national security strategy. Well, in democracies, national security strategies are part of political spin. I mean, that's it's part of governing. Obviously, in this case, you have a president of the United States telling the president of Afghanistan to gild the lily, to exaggerate, to make things sound great when they're actually not. Part of what's fun about this is then they went to Jen Psaki and asked her about it at the White House. And she tried to dismiss it all and said she didn't want to discuss what she called a private conversation. Well, it's no longer a private conversation. And what's fun about this is if we go back to 2019, guess what? Jen Psaki was on the other side of this when she was a CNN analyst. She said in a tweet, it is not just the call transcript. The whistleblower complaint would likely have more details. We need both and not just the call. Back then, Jen Psaki thought the American people deserved full disclosure. Not so much now. Wolfson added that CBS completely avoided the subject of Afghanistan during its evening newscast on Wednesday, as well as primetime NBC hosts Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes. Hayes did tweet about the controversial phone call, but only to try to blow it off. He tweeted, quote, telling the failing Afghan government to fake it till you make it as a means of extending its reign as long as possible is a sad statement on cumulative U.S. failures in Afghanistan, but not a scandal any more than the war itself was. In liberal land, wars are scandals. The biggest scandals are wars, because somehow wars are something you should never get into. Then there's the question of Texas. Texas passed what liberals call a restrictive law, restricting abortion to the first 6 weeks of a pregnancy. You notice they never call that protective. It's always restrictive. You can't protect something unless you think it's precious, unless you think it's something important. And I think what we know about liberals and abortion and unborn babies is unborn babies are treated as a blob of tissue with no humanity whatsoever. On Good Morning America, Kyle Drennan was disgusted. Fill-in host Cecilia Vega turned to reporter Rachel Scott and fretted. Rachel, you've spoken to doctors who say they are already having to turn women away. Yeah, that's their word for abortionists. Or they could have said you've spoken to abortion doctors. But they use these lame terms. Abortion doctors are also just called providers. Take a listen to Rachel Scott.
Both providers and patients are struggling to come to terms with the new reality here in Texas. We went inside one clinic here in Houston. The doctor there telling me that since this law went into effect, abortions have all but stopped.
This morning, Democrats and abortion activists are scrambling, desperate to find a way to challenge the most restrictive abortion law in the nation.
Very harsh. I think it feels inhumane. I think we're tired.
We met Dr. Bhavik Kumar inside this Planned Parenthood Center in Houston. He tells me he normally performs between 20 to 30 abortions a day. But since the new law, he's only seen six patients and had to turn half of them away.
Dr. Kumar does 20 to 30 abortions a day. How many Americans can say that? Yeah, I commute in on the interstate, I kill 30 humans, then I get back on the interstate, go home and watch TV. Somehow abortionists are merely providers, and not killing a baby is called very harsh and inhumane. I mean, a lot of times people who oppose abortion listen to the news and think not only is morality upside down, just language itself is upside down. It's inhumane not to rip a baby limb from limb. Scott Whitlock noted on Thursday that CBS reporter Ben Tracy explained it this way. The Texas law bans abortions once a so-called fetal heartbeat is detected, usually around 6 weeks. Now, how would he feel if we said, Ben Tracy, a so-called reporter with the so-called CBS News... I mean, they use these terms. This is Dan Rather used to do this on CBS to describe the Christian Coalition. The group calling itself the Christian Coalition, translation, we don't think they're Christians because they're conservatives. But just this whole idea of so-called fetal heartbeat. I mean, first of all, it's a baby, not a fetus. we call the fetus an F word. It's something you use to dehumanize a baby. Alexandra De Sanctis Mar of National Review has tweeted this. Phrases that actual news outlets have used to avoid the phrase fetal heartbeat. Cardiac rhythm. A group of cells with electrical activity. A cluster of pulsing cells. Fetal pole cardiac activity. And then there's this one. The pulsing of what will later become the fetus's heart. I mean, all this dancing around. This is the fall of the science media. It's a developing heart. Everyone can look at it on a sonogram and see what it is. Yes, it's a little round object that's pulsing. Beat, 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 beat. Well, that's a group of cells with electrical activity. Isn't that what you call your own heart? It's a cluster of pulsing cells. Now we turn to the latest poll that underlines people don't trust the liberal media, especially Republicans. The Pew Research Center recently found only 35% of Republicans today say they trust national news organizations, compared to 70% in 2016. Personally, I think 70% sounds a little high for 2016, but this makes it sound more dramatic. Trust in the media sliced in half in 5 years. Conservative trust in national news organizations has fallen by 14 percentage points since late 2019, compared to single-digit percentage point drops each year during the Trump era. Well, meanwhile, 78% of Democrats in the survey said they trusted national news organizations. And why wouldn't they? It just means national news organizations sound like Democrat spin organizations. It's not surprising. Democrats would say, yeah, that's the news, because we like the way the news sounds. On Axios.com, they added, Pew's findings echo a similar long-term study from Gallup last year, which found that Democrats' trust in mass media had grown to a near-record high during the Trump era, while Republicans sunk to an all-time low. Yeah, that's pretty much the picture. And we all understand why. Because the Republicans were, anybody who supported Trump was basically suggested they were a horrible racist who was for, you know, killing people with COVID. I mean, they're reporting on the Republicans. When we're sitting here, it's like an average day at the office where it's like, Joy Reid compared Fox News to Osama bin Laden. Yeah, there we go again. And then they go, why aren't we trusted by Republicans? Well, they looked at the survey. CNN's Brian Stelter hit the panic button at the top of his Reliable Sources newsletter, and he went to one of his favorite experts, New York University journalism professor Jay Rosen. Jay Rosen's spin was, Republicans trust everything less, including social media, often seen as a freewheeling alternative to the media, a kind of right-wing resentment theater. That sounds like an interesting series. We'll have to start that. We have a program called Today on Right-Wing Resentment Theater, Actors Act Out Critical Race Theory. Jay Rosen continues, and this is the main sentence for me. Jay Rosen writes, flooding the zone with spit works. Yeah, it wasn't spit. It lowers trust in the entire system, so the worst among us can profit. Stelter continued, the flooding the zone strategy includes a never-ending Fox News narrative about big media and big tech censoring and hurting and destroying everyone in its way. Well, they never want to ask what part of this Fox News narrative is untrue. Is it untrue that big tech has been singling out the right wing? Does Brian Stelter have a lot of examples of big tech squashing CNN? Or big tech squashing HuffPost or the Daily Kos? I mean, bring it. Then there's Vox, also not squashed by big tech. Stelter quoted David Roberts at Vox. He wrote, "The decades-long, extremely well-funded conservative effort to completely cut its suburban rural base off from mainstream sources of information has basically succeeded. Not clear that democracy can survive it." Now, I would love to think we're extremely well-funded, and it's certainly true. We have an effort to question what liberals call mainstream sources of information. This is the whole problem, is identifying yourself as the mainstream is an arrogant decision. You know, conservatives could just say, you know what? The mainstream likes the flag. The mainstream likes the national anthem. So if you think you need to kneel and make a fuss, then you're out of the mainstream. Well, then they're going to cast themselves as the brave rebels against society. But usually they're going to pose to themselves, we're the mainstream sources of information. No, you're the liberal sources of spin. I'm especially object to this whole idea that, well, Newsbuster seems to be winning in making conservatives distrust the media. It's not clear democracy can survive. These people, again, always equate the Democrats winning with democracy. If the liberal media spin prevails, then democracy prevails. If the liberal media spin is questioned, democracy is dying in darkness. This is where we always look at them when they talk like this and we want to just say, get over yourself. I favor a lot of democracy and freedom and capitalism and a Coke in every refrigerator, but it's, you know, you don't just get to identify with what you're for. It's also a matter of what you're against. And, you know, you can't come out every day and compare Fox to Al-Qaeda and then say, I don't know why you don't call us a mainstream source of information. And then the liberals have that sense. They always say, you know, we want a common set of facts. The problem with the conservative media is they don't let us have a common set of facts. Yeah, you know what that means? It means there's certain information we don't want anybody to know, so it's going to be kept out of the common set of facts. So Brian Stelter turns to his fellow CNN analyst, Brian Lowry, who writes, "When I read those Pew poll results, I couldn't help thinking about two men who have left us, but who planted the seeds for the right's wholesale rejection of mainstream media." This is, of course, Rush Limbaugh and Roger Ailes. The conservative radio host and Fox News founder both had a clear profit incentive built into their formula, which Trump and others have taken and run with. By discrediting other forms of media, they cemented bonds to their audience. The other legacy of that, far more problematic, is the destruction of a society that can agree on a common set of facts regarding challenges and crises we face, much less how to address them. So yes, they get very angry when it's like, the common set of facts includes we're all going to fry dramatic global warming unless we do everything Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez wants. We need the Bernie Sanders agenda or we're all going to die, and that's part of our common set of facts. These people get upset when people say, look, one of the reasons that we are not going to go down the hill with you on this theory of climate change is all the socialist communist stuff you're proposing as a remedy. Frankly, it makes us doubt that this is a real threat. It's just a ruse. It's a rationale to get to socialist utopia. Brian Stelter then goes, "Rarely do I see a right-wing outlet trying in good faith to profile a mainstream media figure, but I see the opposite all the time. For instance, Manuel Roig Franzia of the Washington Post traveled to Texas to profile former NRA spokeswoman Dana Loesch, the rising right-wing radio star, with a headline, 'She doesn't care if you call her a murderer.'" Now, okay, this is trying in good faith to report on the conservatives? This is really, again, one of these stories where they're like, Dana Loesch lives in a mansion It's decorated gaudily. She calls herself a goth. I mean, the whole way this thing is written is to say icky. So to say it's a good faith profile, it depends. If we did a thing like this on Brian Stelter, Brian Stelter doesn't care if you call him a murderer. That's my good faith story. And then this is the part that really gets me. Stelter writes, none of it, of course, is newsroom based. That's us. That's probably the most important point to make. The GOP's world of media excels at talking about the news, not gathering or processing the news. Bashing the rest of the media is a lot cheaper and easier than sending reporters on assignments. This is where we go back to saying, Mr. Stelter, as we know, you went on a podcast with Ezra Klein and said CNN is pretty much a 24/7 talk show about politics. Yes, you have a few reporters in the field, but we've just identified that about 22% of the product on news these days is actual reporting and live coverage. Most of what we see on so-called cable news of all ideologies is talk and conversations and analysis and talking to pundits and speculating about what's going to happen next. There's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with political chatter. You just don't get to pose as, we're for news reporting and the conservatives don't do news reporting. There's plenty of conservatives that do news reporting. We have a news site, cnsnews.com. The Blaze does news reporting. Free Beacon does news reporting. Breitbart does news reporting. And so on. The Federalist does news reporting. You know, their whole problem here is that they just don't want to acknowledge that anything that can be identified as staunchly conservative can do anything called reporting. Newsbusters does reporting. If I tell you about all the hundreds of thousands of dollars Chuck Todd's wife took from the Bernie Sanders campaign, that's called reporting. You might not like it. Chuck Todd certainly didn't like it. But it's reporting, and we should do reporting. I would like to take this as a challenge, and that's say, hey, conservative media, let's do more reporting. Let's not just talk about politics, let's report on politics. But that's being done. Just because Brian Stelter doesn't want to read any of it, just because he doesn't want to actually discuss any of it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But this is the sort of thing that the liberal media wants to say about the conservative media. That is just good at bashing the rest of the media. Oh yeah, Brian Stelter never bashes the conservative part of the media. Brian Stelter's show seems determined to talk about the GOP side of the media rather than evaluating his own section of the media. Chris Cuomo still has a job. What reporting did you do on that, Brian? That's why you have to come to Newsbusters. Sites like ours. We're the ones that are going to tell you about this stuff. You need us. You got to keep up with us. We'll keep you informed and hopefully keep you amused a little bit. So come to us once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking in.